How are you?
Ah, hello.
We've just...
All right, Ace, we're great, me and you. But the other lads don't talk like we do.
The other lads are talking silent and shouting at each other, going, hello?
Are you there? Are you there? How are you doing, lad?
I've just got up off my night turn.
Oh, you're a poor sleepy bunny.
I fucking could have stayed asleep, lad. And my alarm went off, and I jumped, and went,
I'm late for my paper now.
Yeah. Why have I got a chub in my pants?
Ooh. What time are you then?
Tonight?
Yeah.
10:15. Put the second to last one to bed.
I'm not until on the 14:47.
And then back on the...
18:33.
Whoppa! Is that a good one? You said that with joy in your heart.
Yeah, because I'll be back in the house in time to have a nice little scoop.
Oh, Dave. Well, listen...
I'll just have one, Mr. Railway Man. I don't get drunk when I go to work.
No, well, you know. What's it like, eh? What is it like? Drinking.
Hello, creepy baby.
Oh, is that Shelly Belly?
Oh, she's invading me space, man.
Just like the old days.
Whenever I'm on the phone, she's there.
Yeah. She sounds fit, though.
She's all right.
She'd give a dog a bone, that one.
I'm just going to the gym.
I know. She keeps going to the gym. She's a little gym bunny. Showing off her camel toe. Is this the first time her camel toe's been mentioned on a podcast?
I think it potentially has been, yeah.
will she listen to us?
No. She's not interested.
Oh. Shelly Belly, listen.
You've got me out of going to the gym today. We're supposed to be going together, but I said, I can't. Greg wants to do the podcast. Can't go on.
Oh. Bless. Well, send us some shots of your camel toe, Shelly.
She's gone.
Oh. It looks camel toe squelching down the street.
Still pulling it up extra tight.
Listening to us. Well, dear listener.
Oh, yeah. We're Jordan, aren't we?
How are you? How are you, dear listener?
I'm all right, thanks.
Oh, is that...
She's just a cup of tea before she goes. What a diamond.
Yeah, but she's pissed, isn't it?
Whatever.
Green tea is fucking horrible, mate.
What the fuck are you drinking that shit for?
Because I'm trying to get my weight down, lad.
Green tea doesn't help you.
Does.
Stop eating all the fucking burgers and the pies.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yeah.
Also, it's just not having milk in me too.
Oh, top tip. All the specialists at Slimmer World and Weight Watchers like that. Bingo! Eureka! We've got the answer.
Well, you know, that's where I'm going wrong.
Oh, dear. Yeah, and stop deep frying all your cups of tea. The tea's in the chip pan. Oh, well, dear listener, there's a little window into our lives. Green tea make your burpee bum.
Oh, it's just extra hot, that one. I think she's fucking put it in the microwave.
Got a gob like Simon Weston's ring piece now.
Hit the top of my mouth.
Bless you. Bless.
Come on, let's get on with this.
Let's crack on. So, since the last time we recorded... Who the fuck's that?
Probably fucking PPI or someone. Hold on.
This Hello. Is... Go on.
Hello.
All right.
Oh, they've hung up on me, the bastards.
Oh, where are you? I was going to sell you some PPI. You couldn't.
Right, so since the last time we've played, or recorded, sorry, last game was Everton 0, Liverpool 0. And I can't remember what we said at that recording, but it was like the world had ended. People were actually calling for Klopp's head.
Yeah.
Their head fell off, didn't they? Big style. And I'd like to think they're not real Liverpool fans who were all over Twitter calling for him to be sacked.
No. what do they expect? I mean, we're second in the league. Yeah, we've mentioned it before. Behind probably the best assembled Premiership side we've ever seen. And we're still, well, at the moment, we're sitting top. But at the time...
Hashtag spoiler.
Oh, hashtag. Yeah, calling for Klopp's head's a bit fucking stupid. I mean, understand the vitriol, you know, how long has he been here and he's won us nothing yet. He came with all these, you know, all these plans and everything. Nothing's come to fruition yet. But a much better side to when he came. So we're going in the right direction. If we don't end up winning this title, then it's looking good that it's going to be within the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, I mean, we've got to try and keep hold of what we've got in the summer. The big eyes of European football are turning round onto our club, and we've always been a selling club. So Real Madrid are rebuilding. Barcelona look like they need to rebuild. Bayern Munich need to rebuild.
Yeah.
We could lose the basics, the core of our team this summer quite easily. Quite easily. And I'm not just saying that, but if somebody come in and said 170 million for Mane, you're going to struggle to keep that, to turn that down. Really, you are. Van Dijk.
Everyone's got a price, haven't they?
Yeah. From Kevin Keegan, right the way up. Oh, mother! So, the game after, we'll do Liverpool first, because they're the greatest team the world has ever seen. We had a disappointing 0-0 draw against the Blue Shite, and it was disappointing.
Yeah, we should have won.
We talked about this game as if Liverpool were away in all the predictions. We got it the wrong way round. Liverpool 4, Burnley 2.
Yeah.
I watched most of that game that I can remember, but I've had 2 weeks of nights, so I can't remember a lot. Not a lot. We both got 1 point each. 40.
Yeah, I believe I said 2-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, you said 2-0. I said 3-0. And obviously, ResultsBot said 1-0 Burnley. So you get 0 points. No bad.
Yeah, it was a similar outcome to the first game in December, wasn't it? They took the lead and then it sort of gave us the arse and we came back and won.
Yeah, and the lead, I mean, everybody again. We should team up with the half and half scarves and do a special about the rules and everything like that and what you would like to see implemented at some point. Because I'm all for VAR. All day long, you're going to win more with VAR than without VAR. Because the foul on the goalie for that first goal was it was just blatant.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah. Why somebody just texted me? I hope that hasn't put us out of sync. Silly bitch.
Yeah, I'd look at the stats. And Burnley had 2 shots on goal. Or rather, 2 shots on target, and he scored both of them. Liverpool had 23 shots.
Exactly.
Obviously, we had the majority of the game, but it was a bit of another scare.
I wouldn't say it was a scare. I didn't.
Scare as in when they got their second goal, you think, oh, yeah, is this going to be the old Liverpool again, going to buckle?
Yeah, but again, did you watch it?
Just the highlights.
Yeah, I watched it, and I didn't feel we were never, ever going to. I think they got one more crossing, and from that cross or whatever, we went up and scored the fourth. It was nothing. No. But Everton went to Newcastle.
Why, aye, man.
You wee canny bastard. Oh, smuggy and blind. Right. Now they're winning 2-0.
Yeah.
And in the last 10 minutes, basically, press the self-destruct button. And yeah, their head fell off.
Pickford had the worst game ever. He conceded a penalty, didn't he? Should have gone off. rugby tackled, was it Rondon?
Yeah.
Rugby tackled him, took him out. Obviously, all the Newcastle fans, players, management screaming to be sent off. He stayed on and saved the penalty.
Yeah. He's England's number one.
Only because there's nothing better out there at the moment.
Well, the Burnley keeper's better.
He's the worst of a bad bunch at the moment.
Yeah. No one with them size arms can ever be a fucking goalkeeper.
No. And it was his fault. Newcastle got the winner. Their new fella, what's his name? He took a long shot, didn't he? And all that Pickford did was deflect it. Pushed it down in front of Perez, and Perez slotted it for the winner.
Boom!
Again, I only saw the highlights of that, but it looked like Everton capitulated.
Yeah, now you said 1-1.
Nilpois!
I said 2-1 to the mighty Newcastle.
Oh, because you're a big fucking Benitez head, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. His smile would light up any room. The man is wonderful. And when Klopp eventually goes to Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, I would open my arms to Rafa Benitez because he has unfinished business with the mighty Reds. He won us the European Cup with Dimitri Traore in the team. That is all you need to know. Now, ResultsBot got the score right. Well, they put the win right as well.
Yeah.
So,
this home tie, it was 1-1, wasn't it? So, Newcastle have done us a favour, but stuck one up Everton there. They've only got 1 point out of possible six, Everton. Rafa doing his best for the blue side of Liverpool. Sticking it up.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. Weird. So then the next game we got...
Okay, well...
You got more to say on that.
Yeah, well, no, this is the last because we didn't predict any other games. So you're on 8 points. I'm on 11 points.
Ooh.
And ResultsBot is on 7 points. It's not ResultsBot, it's ResultsNonce. But in this climate of noncery, I don't think we should. I think we should sack Results Nonce and bring in somebody else to replace him.
How about Results Geordie?
Or Results Zilla?
Results Zilla? Or Silla?
Silla. We'll call her spirit down and she can give the results.
Yeah, that'd be all right, that. We're going to have a lot of wins and they're all going to be 1-0 to the home team.
Okay, Silla. Are you happy with that? Are you happy with that, Stewie?
Yeah, that's fine. I quite like Silla.
Oh, that's lovely. You're a lovely pair of boys. When I'm at the Liverpool pantomime as a ghost dame next year, I'll throw you a lollipop.
Hey, Silla.
What?
Is it true you're doing Paul McCartney?
No comment. Is that my is that my ghost coach taking me back to heaven?
Take me back, Bobby.
Bobby, I'm coming. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just driving dead fast.
There you go. So we've got results still now, guys, okay? Because, nonces aren't nice people.
I'm only a point ahead of results still.
Yeah, well... That's results nonce did all that way. Silla hasn't predicted nothing yet.
Okay.
So
Everton Chelsea,
yeah. This is the strange thing. I've watched more Everton than I have Liverpool the last couple of weeks.
I've seen none of this.
And I watched Everton and they were dreadful first half. Absolutely dreadful. There was a chorus of boos and everything as they trudge off the pitch.
Yeah.
But Chelsea are also dreadful. This is... I listened to Half and Half Scarves podcast that came out yesterday. I listened to it immediately while I was getting the tea ready and all that. And Colin is pulling his hair out. He just wants him to go. Saddy ball and all that.
He's lost the dressing room already, I think.
The Chelsea have always had too much player power, so they should never... The manager or the coach or the head coach or whatever you want to call them should have the final say on everything. But players, modern players now, like what Man United had with Mourinho, fucking disgraceful. All modern players, they're earning 200 grand a week, they're average at best, and they're just down tools.
Yeah, if they take a dislike into the manager or any of the staff, that's it. They just all get together and let's get rid of him.
The thing with it, right, by all means, get together, right, and do it privately, go and speak to the chairman or whatever and say we're not happy with him. Or, dare I say, speak to the manager. But when you're out on that pitch, just look around that stadium and some of them working-class people or middle-class people or whatever have paid small fortunes to come and worship you. And you're doing them a disservice.
Yeah, it's an easy escape, and it's if you're having a poor performance or whatever, to blame the backroom staff, to blame the manager. At the end of the day, all the manager does is pick the team. If you're a team and you go out there and you can't give it 100%, you've got to have a look at yourself, haven't you?
Do you know, I mean, the managers of old, Bill Shankly and all them, right? It's the same 11 as last week, boys. I want you to just go out and play. And a couple of inspirational words. And that was it.
Yeah.
Now, these little pricks are getting shown fucking flip charts and they're on the touchline with an iPad and you run here and you run there. The modern player has got no fucking brain capacity of where to stand when he's got a corner.
No.
Or where to be.
No. You flip that. They do. They're told exactly where to stand. That's the problem.
Yeah, but if they're not, you know, so maybe Sarri isn't breaking it down like that. Again, you're hearing that at half time in the old days when the players used to trudge in, they used to have a cup of tea and half an orange, and the manager would say this, that, and the other, and that was it. Bob Paisley used to sit in the main stand watching the first half.
Yeah.
And that, this, and that, and the other. Right, boys, go ahead. Now, these poor fucking brain-dead morons who are all multimillionaires when they're fucking 16 are sitting there having to watch highlights of the fucking match they've just been playing in.
Yeah, it's madness.
They just go and play footy.
They've become professional footballers because from a young age, they've played football, they've loved it, they've been good at it, they've excelled, and then they've gone to these certain clubs and they're told, right, stop doing that. We want you to go and stand wherever. On corners, you stand there. Free kicks, you do this. I don't want you to cross the halfway line if we're behind. All stuff like this. They're not allowed to play. That's why I sort of... Solskjaer coming back to Man United took the shackles off the Man United team because Mourinho was one of the worst for playing the game like a game of chess. You know, he was telling everyone what to do and what to do. And Solskjaer apparently has just come in and said, go and play football.
In a little pixie voice.
Go and do football. Well, German French.
Yeah. And in the background in his wheelchair is Alex Ferguson. With all his medals round his neck, all pinned to his fucking blazer. Bastard. So fuck off Everton, you shit. You went and did a shit Chelsea team. And that's as positive as I can be about Everton in a Liverpool Everton podcast. And I'm never going to be any more positive about them.
No.
Because they're shit. Go on.
The game in November finished 0-0, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was a very similar game.
Oh, no, it was 1-0.
0-0, wasn't it?
No, Origi scored the winner. When dinosaur arms went flailing.
No, the Everton-Chelsea game.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah.
That's at Chelsea, 0-0, yeah. That was similar stats. I had a look at the two stats over the two games. They were pretty similar games, but obviously they didn't get the goals.
Yeah.
Are we doing the European game or just Premier games?
No, we'll just touch on the European football, like, obviously. Again,
really, don't we? Bayern Munich.
Yeah, we
just didn't turn up, did he?
Did you watch this game?
Yeah.
They were like, I've never seen nothing like it. I've been in that stadium, the Allianz Arena, to watch Bayern Munich versus Hoffenheim a few years ago. And that was a 3-3 draw, and he'd already won the league. And the place was fucking bouncing for 90 minutes. And it was one of the great football occasions of my life, because it was fucking electric in there. Yeah. And this, when that first goal goes in, you can hear a pin drop.
It was a strange game. Just Bayern Munich just never turned up, as I say. It's just, Liverpool didn't play that well to get the win. They played well, but they didn't...
They played well. They weathered what, so they contained Bayern Munich, and they hit them on the break. And no, that was a masterclass of European football. An absolute masterclass. And we'll do Porto, and then we'll do Barcelona, and we'll be in another European Cup final, and we'll be playing the fucking blue shite again.
I can't wait to see what this guy off TalkSport has to say when we do Porto.
TalkSport are just clinkbait wankers.
Fucking hell. Are they affiliated to Sky Sports and fucking Murdoch and all that?
Yeah.
Like disliking to Liverpool, aren't
they? No, they are. They literally are, yeah. Same people who own The Sun, own Talk Sport.
Liverpool always get the lucky draw.
Look at Man City's all their cup fixtures for this year. The first round of the cup this year, they played the wheelchair 11.
And I've seen all the comments on his... it went on Facebook and Twitter, and I saw all the comments afterwards. He forgets all the other seasons where, like 2005, beat Juventus and all them. Doesn't bring that up, does he?
No, what a season. What a season. So after that, after Europe, Bayern Munich, it was...
Fulham-Liverpool.
Fulham-Liverpool. And again, we were in control at all the time, all the way through this game, until the little cock-up. But even, we were only drawing for about 6 minutes. And I've been more level-headed. My head normally falls off, and I always predict doom for Liverpool. And because I predict doom for Liverpool, we generally win. Now, as you know, now this to me was a massive, massive banana skin. But we hadn't podcasted, so no one knows. But I was quietly confident.
Yeah.
And we turned it around and we won. And people still aren't happy. You know, what do we have to do? Go and win every game 8-0 just because Man City are doing. You still get the same 3 points.
Well, yeah, but the last two games, Man City have only won 1-0, haven't they? They've scraped a 1-0 win.
Yeah, it's bullshit. We've scored 6 goals in 2.
Mentioned about them.
We've scored 6 goals in 2. We've scored 11 goals in 3. And then we've scored 14 goals. Bournemouth 3-0, Man United 0-0, Watford 5-0, Everton 0-0. There's a trend here. We've lost one game all season.
Yeah.
We might be the greatest Liverpool team, statistically, that we have ever produced. And like you said before, we might still come second.
Yeah, which I've also said before, which will be looked on as being an unsuccessful season, which unfortunately it will. But unfortunately, at the time where we've assembled a great side, there's also one of the world's best sides in our league.
We were in a better position when Gerrard slipped in 2014. We were going to win the league that year. Before he slipped, if we'd have managed that result and drew 0-0 with Chelsea, we would have been champions. But at that point in time, that slip was catastrophic because it handed momentum back to Man City.
Yeah.
we are still we're in a worse position than at that point, because there was only we only had two games left after that. We've got another 7 games, 21 points. That is still a lot of points to play for. And we won't win all them games. We will not win all them games.
I don't think City are going to win all theirs.
Well, exactly. I was, you know, Guardiola's already coming out moaning because the FA have moved the Cardiff game to before the semi-final of the FA Cup. So they've got 13 games of football in April, or 13 games of football in 44 days. That's a game of football every 3.2 games or something like that. 3.2 days.
I think possibly a couple of weeks ago, I was of the mind that I could see Liverpool slipping up again, but I can't see City slipping up. But now I can. Seeing them 1-0, where they scraped through, even though they had majority of the play, the teams are playing against the defender for their lives, and they're going to come unstuck, Man City, where they're not going to be able to break a team down. Plus, did us a favour getting through the FA Cup, so they got more games to play. And when they came back...
Yeah, they might go and win the quadruple. They might be the greatest team the world has ever seen, and there's nothing we can do about it, because we can only play, we can only win what's in front of us. Everything they do is out of our... Well, unless we play them in the European Cup final, then it is up to us. But this Man City team, well, I like to think when it's a normal Premier League season, so if this was normal now, we'd be 13 points clear.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to that point in the season, right? And I swear down, teams coming to play, the champions elect stop playing. And the champions almost have a little easy run in.
Yeah, because even though the champions elect, so when you come and face them, it's almost as if, right, okay, we're going to lose this one, so let's rest. Does anybody need a body knackered? Let's give them a rest.
Yeah, because next week we've got a relegation battle against one of our rivals or whatever. Yeah. So these are going to win the league anyway. What's the point in trying? But this season, you've got two teams who are going toe-to-toe to the death, basically. And the teams are coming. I mean, Fulham have been dog shit for weeks.
Yeah.
And they nearly done us. That was their best game for months. They give that extra 2, 3, 4% that was needed to make our day. And I'm going all over the place now, but the Liverpool fans are now turning on Mo Salah. He should be dropped. Mo Salah has been one of our most influential players in the last 7 games that he hasn't scored.
Yeah, he's not getting the goals, but he's attacking, isn't he? He's winning balls. He's setting the attacks up. He's doing assists.
He's making himself available, yeah. And when he's available, there's three defenders around him.
Yeah.
You know, he's been put out on the wing because Mane is scoring the goals. Do you know what's going to happen, people? Right. He'll put Mane out on the wing in a couple of games and Salah will go in the middle.
Yeah.
And he'll score a fucking hatful.
The managers are saying, right, yeah, Salah's the danger man, so make sure we've got at least 2 men on him. So while he's marked, Mane and Firmino are free. They're getting the goals.
Yeah.
Like you say, next week they might turn around and say, right, fucking Mane's the danger man. Cupped up 2 men on him and leave Salah with only 1 man to beat.
Yeah.
It all swings around, ropes in it. Oh. I definitely don't think Salah should be sold or dropped or anything.
No. Do you know what? They're all going to be sold. If we keep that front three for next season, it'll be a miracle. We will have nearly 400 million sitting in the bank by the end of August. If we're not careful. Mane's just signed a new contract. Contracts aren't worth the fucking paper it's written on, because Real Madrid just come in and his agent is already putting it round Europe. Oh, he's on whatever he's on, 150 a week. Real Madrid, you want rid of Bale, who's on something stupid like $500,000 a week? Okay, well, you get rid of him, you get all that money back in the bank. You can get money then for fucking $300,000 a week.
So potentially winning this league could be the worst thing for us.
regarding keeping our players.
Yeah.
He might just have the mindset then of, right, we've won the league with Liverpool, we've done what we came to do. Now Real Madrid have come knocking, or Barcelona have come knocking.
Yeah. German football isn't all that. It's very German football. You know, it's only the likes of Bayern who will have the foreigners and all that in their team. German football is very much insular, and that's why it's suffering a little bit at the moment. There's a little dip in, you know, they're not, where it should be the other way around, because all the German players stay in Germany mainly. They should be winning World Cups and that, but hey-ho. Right, so, prediction time! So the net, right, I mean, we'll predict now because there's an international break, isn't there?
Yeah, go on. West Ham Everton.
So West Ham Everton. I'm just going to, what date are we on now? The 30th. See, we might get another, try and get another episode recorded next week. And that will just be a history episode. Yeah?
Yeah.
We'll try and do that. So, West Ham Everton. Let me just write this down. West Ham Everton. Do you want me? I'll go first because I'm on the lead. West Ham are flying, mate. 2-0.
Okay, I'm going to go West Ham 1, Everton 2.
Oh, that is a controversial.
Boom.
And Silly?
Oh, you want to talk to me now, do you? After you come out with them allegations about me and Armacher. Well, I'm going to say that we had a lot of laughs, and that's all I'm prepared to say on it. But, however, during this game, I think that it's going to be 1-0.
Well, in Silla.
1-0, Silla. And then the next game, go on, you have the first pick of Liverpool, Tottenham. Fucking hell. Couldn't call this one, mate.
Nah, it's a tough one, this, but I reckon we're going to turn up. 3-0.
I just remember being abroad with Ian and Grandad and all them in that 14 season, and Tottenham coming to town, and we were in the ale house. I think we were in Barcelona, and we absolutely, might have been Amsterdam, but we absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah,
and that was part of the run. I think we won 11 games on the bounce, didn't we, to put us back in contention. But even after that game, I'm sure we were only fourth in the league.
I don't know what it is with Tottenham. We always just seem to get a good result against them the majority of the time.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Take it back.
Okay. I fucking hate Harry Kane. Remember when I said he was going at a mountain nothing? The most overrated player.
You still owe me 10 quid?
Yeah, I do.
I bet you 10 quid he'd score more than 10 goals the following season.
Oh, shit. He's just waiting to be found out. Okay, I'm going to summon. I'm going to fucking cock block you. I'm going to say 3-0. Oh, fuck. What have I...
Yeah.
I know.
I've always waved doing a copy one. That's bad news, that.
I know. I shouldn't have written that down because my gut is telling me something else. But it's written down now.
Well, you know my feelings on this, boys. I think it's going to be 1-0 to the Mighty Reds. Even though I believe I was an Everton fan in life, but in death, I couldn't give a fuck.
Go ahead then, Silla. You go back up the pearly gates.
Ta-da, boys!
See you, Silla.
Ta-ra, Stewie.
She's lovely, Silla.
Yeah, she is. Cracking tits.
Going back to the Fulham game, I've just remembered there's something I was going to say.
Yeah.
I had a little bet on that.
Oh, yeah.
Have a look at my Ladbrokes site on my phone. And they were offering 5-1 for Mane to score in the first 25 minutes. And I thought, that's a good price. So I threw a tenner on it. When did he score? 25 minutes and 1 second.
Is that facto?
I shit you not.
So they didn't pay out?
The ball actually crossed the line 25 minutes and 1 second, so he didn't score in the 25th minute.
Well, the two tribes, not two tribes, that's us, half and half scarves, they do like a bet of the week. So, obviously, it's international break now. Do you look at any gambling when it's international break? I know you only do football bets, really.
No. Bets on the football, yeah, a bit.
Are you an impulse better? Do you have to be like feeling the game? Has the game got to be in flow, or do you sit there and study? And
no, on a Saturday I'll do the Premier League and the Championship. I'll pick out maybe 8 to 10 games and just do home or away. Normally, just throw a fiver on it. If it comes in, it pays out about £300. And if I'm watching a game, I'll do a first goal scorer or something like that Mane one.
Yeah.
Ice 5-1 to score within the first 25 minutes was an amazing place. And I missed out by a second.
That's ridiculous, that. That's our lass. That is our lass.
I might get in touch with Mr. Ladbrokes and say, yeah, really? You're not going to rewind the tapes and just make sure that ball didn't cross the line on 25 minutes?
Fucking shocking. Right, should we crack on with the history section?
History section. Erection.
There's, there you go. The little jingle. So we're up to the 83-84 season. And 84. Now,
Fagan.
Yeah, I've read the book. I don't know what it is, but I like it or I love it, which is the song, Chris Rea song, that they had a mixtape. Craig Johnson used to make the mixtapes. And this is the book of this season. Souness's last season. Yeah. And this was a poor Liverpool team, shall we say, in comparison to other seasons. But, wow. If this is a poor Liverpool team.
Yeah. Well, Joe Fagan stepped in, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he was the first English manager of an English team to win 3 major trophies in a season.
So, there you go. Now,
his first game lost.
Yeah.
He lost in the Charity Shield against Man United.
2-0.
But then he went on to have a successful season. So much so, he won Manager of the Year, didn't he?
Yeah. Cracking manager, Joe Fagan.
I worked with his lad when I was at Vauxhalls.
Did you?
Yeah, worked opposite him. Mike. Oh. Mike Fagan, yeah.
Mike and the Mechanics.
Oh, I never come up with that when I was working with him.
Right, Stu, my name's Mike and I'm a mechanic on this bit of the car, so if you've got anything to say it now.
Yeah, he had some good stories. That one he used to play Liverpool reserves and that never made it as good as to get a game, obviously, but last I heard he'd gone back to Liverpool in the coaching class.
All right. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've lost contact with him now. Obviously, I've left Vauxhall over to
Yeah. Right. Well, the first derby that season was the 6th of November. It was a 14:35 kickoff time.
14:35. It was live on ITV.
Wow. How do you know that?
Well, if the laptop's not lying to me, that's what it says.
Nice.
Sunday kickoff, Sunday match.
Now the team is the team. Grobbelaar, height of his powers. Phil Neal on his way out. Alan Kennedy on his way out. Mark Lawrenson.
Who am I? Who am I?
Height of his powers. Steve Nichol, Alan Hansen, Dal Gleish, getting on a bit. Sammy Lee, fringe player. Ian Rush. Michael Robinson, yeah, super sub. Graeme Souness, captain. The opposition, Southall, Harper, Bailey, Radcliffe, Higgins, Stephen, Irvine, Heath, Sharp, Andy King, Sheedy. There's the nucleus of the great Everton team there.
Yeah. This Everton side's the side I'm starting to recognise now.
And this is the season that, which we'll get onto in a short bit, this is the season where I start to sort of notice football, but I'm still not into it, but I notice it.
Yeah. I mean, you say there about Robinson, Michael Robinson,
Trent Fagan's two signs this season. Do you know who his second one was? Michael Robinson. And do you know who else he signed?
Steve McMahon.
Gary Gillespie.
Did he?
Yeah, Michael Robinson, Gary Gillespie. There was two signings this season.
Nice. The average age of the Liverpool team was 27.27.
Oh.
So that's a mature, well-established team. That, do you know what I mean? When you're 27, but there's obviously quite a few oldies in there. Now the average age of the starter for Everton is 24.13. So these are still a young team. The league position after this match, Liverpool were top. Evans' league position after this match, 17th.
Yeah, they dropped a position, didn't they? Liverpool were second. And they went up to top spots. Everton was 16th and went down to 17th.
Wow. So Liverpool 3-0. Yeah. I haven't got the goal scorers after all that.
Rush.
Boom. Rom
and Nichol.
So, yeah. So, I love Steve Nichol. Even now, he looks like Stan Laurel.
This game sticks out in my memory for Graham Sharp's shot. Do you remember it?
Was that shot and save?
One when Groblar was backpedalling and just flipped it over the crossbar.
Yeah. Now, what's the famous fact of this game?
Ooh, I don't know.
Andrew Schofield ran out with the players in full strip prior to the game as part of the filming for the TV series
Scully.
Scully. So that's the climax. Or was that his dream, or was it the climax of the season, of the series?
I watched it. I've got the DVD, actually, but I can't remember.
Yeah. I don't know if he makes it into Liverpool or that was his recurring dream of him running out.
Yeah. No, I can't remember. Fully again. What a great programme that was.
Yeah. You want to start watching that again now. 1980s Liverpool. Fucking getting ripped to pieces by Thatcher, bitch. Right. So the next game was Saturday the 3rd of March, Goodison Park, 3 o'clock kickoff.
And again, 51,245.
There's the goals there. Oh no, it hasn't got the goals there. Weird. This one has. Bruce Groblar, Phil Neal, Alan Kennedy, Mark Lawrenson, Ronnie Whelan, Alan Hansen, Michael Robinson, playing in Dalglish's position, Sammy Lee, or Shirt, Ian Rush, Craig Johnson, Graeme Souness. So that's still a cracking team, but there's a few olds in there. There's a few olds in there, and there's a few players who you'd say, Southall, Stevens, Bailey, Ratcliffe, Mountfield, Peter Reid, Stephen, Heath, Sharp, Gray, Sheedy. And this game ended
1-1.
1-1, yes.
Penalty in the 77th minute. Well, he didn't miss it. Groblar saved it, didn't he?
Yeah. Again, do you remember these games? Or have you watched these games? Or
I've got a DVD of Liverpool Everton derbies.
Oh, yeah.
So I've seen when it comes up, I remember the little clips, those things.
Yeah. So, again, I'm guessing we're top of the league, were we?
Yeah. Everton finished this game in 15th, and we were still top.
That's a turnaround because of what happens the season after, when you think about it.
Well, like I say, this Everton side now is looking more and more like the Championship winning side.
Yeah.
The sides that we remember, we probably know some more because they're becoming more more of a threat to Liverpool now.
Now, the next game...
Hold on.
Go on. I've
got a little fact.
Go on.
So, at the press conference afterwards, what was his name?
Elton Wellesby.
He turned around and he was talking to Kendall. And Kendall said, what do you think about Sharp's penalty? And he said, well, Sharp turned around and told him that he changed his mind as he was running up. So Kendall said, I think we need to change our penalty taker. You Sharpie.
Ah, fuck off, Sharpie, you shit. So only, what, 3 weeks later?
Yeah, big game.
The first time in history, the two Merseyside clubs go down to Wembley, all linking arms together, all on the train together.
Merseyside.
The Reds and the Blues. The League Cup final. Now, Steve, no second name in case you get shouted at. Steve went to these all these games. You went to every game this season, home and away. What does he say? The Wembley one was boring, 0-0. It pissed down all day. The only memorable thing was Alan Anson clearing one off the line, which for years they claimed was a handball.
Yeah. I had that written down. I was going to mention that, yeah. They're still saying now, aren't they? Should have been a penalty.
Yeah. Now, this, my nan and granddad, actually, I can remember watching this game in their house in Granton Road outside Anfield. So that I can pinpoint where I was for history on that day. I was in their front room and it was on, but I wasn't watching it. Do you know what I mean? I was a kid. I was doing other stuff.
You had your Barbie.
Yeah. I was wearing Ken's knickers on my face. But I can remember it. And I can remember watching bits and bobs. And it was a boring 0-0 game. The replay. Right, so the Liverpool team. Grobler, Neil, Kennedy, Lawrenson, Whelan, Hansen, Dalglish, Sammy Lee, Ian Rush, Craig Johnson, Graham Souness. Yeah, you know, the same core of players, isn't it? Dalglish has come in for Michael Robinson. Basically, the same. I'm not even going to read the Everton team.
The only difference in the Everton side was Sheedy was injured, wasn't he? So Harper replaced him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Alan Harper, remember him? He had a weird-shaped face, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the replay 3 days later, Wednesday the 28th, Main Road, 7:45 kickoff. I didn't watch it because I wasn't into football. So it had been on in my nan and granddad's house on the Sunday because we must have been there, but didn't watch this. Just didn't even watch it.
Yeah, I can't, to be honest, I can't remember watching it myself.
Oh.
I know.
School night.
Possibly did, but I remember the first leg at Wembley. I went around the paper shop and I bought the programme. They had the programmes on sale there, so I sat in front of the telly watching the programme, think being dead proud. Oh, I've got the official programme. It's like being a dead. I think because it was such a bad game, sort of a non-event game, I don't think I was asked watching the second leg. I mean, I remember when I watched on YouTube the highlights and everything, and on my video, or DVD rather, I remember watching it, but I don't know whether I remember watching it after the event, not actually watching it live.
Yeah.
Like this, you know, the Sooners goal, obviously. I think that's been shown hundreds of times, and so obviously I remember that.
That's a screamer, and that's what he was all about. That is Graeme Souness.
Yeah. Phil Neal fired it into him, didn't he? He just flipped it up, swung round, swatted it with his left foot and buried it in the bottom corner.
Yeah. Again, Grobler, Neil, Kennedy, Lawrenson, Whelan, Hansen, Dalglish, Lee, Rush, Johnson, Souness, captain. Southall, Stevens, Bailey, Ratcliffe, Mountfield, Reed, Irvin, Heath, Sharp, Richardson, Harper. Yeah, they were starting to fucking muster their powers. But it was our fourth League Cup victory on the bounce.
Dominating the Milk Cup.
Fourth and last.
Another Elton Wellesby spoke to Souness on the pitch after the game. He said, what about that strike? And Souness just turned around and said it was just one of those hitting hopes.
See, I just love that man.
It's close to my eyes, Nitty.
I love him. And it just hit the onion bag. Now, we went on, as you said before, we won the league, we were champions.
Yeah, do you want the league placings?
Yeah, definitely, because it bears witness to what's occurred in this season. You know, these are the great Liverpool teams, right? And just go through the breakdown as how many games we lost and everything, because have you got that?
No, I've just got the points.
Okay, well, I have.
So go on, then.
So we've won 42 game season. We won 24 games. And we drew 10 and we lost 8 games. 84 yeah. goals for, 37 goals against. So you've got to remember in the late 70s where we conceded 16 goals in one season. This was a hard slog this season. We had a plus 50 goal difference, right? The nearest team to us goal difference wise was Man United, who come third with plus 18. Mm-hmm. Watford come second with plus 17 goal difference. We had 82 points. Watford come second on 71 points. Now, how many points has Liverpool got this season already? 76 points. So this is how high the bar has been set now. We were winning league championships on 82 points. We probably wouldn't even get in the European Cup now with that.
No.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, Everton, considering the Derby game where they dropped down to 17th, they finished the season 7th. They only won 6 games less, 18, drew 10, lost 14.
Man United were third.
Yeah.
Look at the right...
What?
Oh, yeah, go on. I was just looking at a league then. I put in 83-84 and 84-85 come up.
So Everton finished 7th, 64 points. Which, again, you know, that's a... Liverpool have had point returns like that in recent history, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
The three teams relegated, Manchester City, 47 yeah. points. Swansea City, 41 points. And Brighton, 40 points.
Mm.
So there's the 40-point safety mark. Doesn't get you, because it's a 42-game season, 40 points, you're still going down. 47 points. 47 points in modern football. You'd be on the beach for the last three games, wouldn't you?
You are looking at the wrong season.
I'm not. Am I?
83-84. Yeah, I've just put another site in.
No! What am I looking at?
Yeah. I've just put two different sites in now, because I've got it written down. When you were saying Man United finished third, I went, oh, who's made the cock up here?
Oh, no. I've just talked for like 10 minutes. Oh, fuck off. I am. Well, it's on Wikipedia.
And then it's when you said Man City went down. That was last season.
Hold on. I'm scrabbling through. Oh. Well,
Liverpool finished on 80 points.
Yes, I've got it in front of me now. Fuck off. We've just talked all passionately there for 5 minutes. I'm not editing it out because we don't fucking edit.
Well, then I doubted myself as well because you said that Everton finished 7th and they finished 7th this season as well.
Yeah. Right, okay. So, we had 80 points, as you say. 22 wins, 14 draws, 6 losses. You see, 6 losses is massive now. Man City have lost 4 this year. 41 goal difference. Goal difference is vastly improved. Second place, Southampton, 28 goal difference, 77 points. So this was a hot 3 points difference.
Yeah.
So this would have been going down to the last game of the season.
You talk about modern football now. If your team loses, say, 4, maybe 5 games, that's it. You're out of contention.
Well, and the manager's sacked.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola should lose his job this year because he's lost 4 games. It's that much pressure on managers now.
Nottingham Forest, who come third, lost 12 games.
Yeah.
And only finished 6 points behind us. As you say, Everton finished seventh. 62 points, plus two goal difference. Blue shite. The teams relegated are Birmingham City. I've always hated Birmingham City. 48 points. Notts County. Who the fuck are you, Notts County? 41 points.
Oh, Little Wolves.
And then Little Wolves, 29 points.
That was a bad season.
That's a spanking, that, mate.
You know what, though? I would put them as probably team of the season this year.
Who?
I think they're playing fantastic football.
Oh, in this year, yeah.
This season, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Fantastic football. And I'm not talking about Man United. I've followed them all through the season. I've put like three of their players in my fantasy league. Because I just think they're all playing great football.
Yeah. Well, and you've got to keep hold of these players now, haven't you?
Well, that's the problem with teams like that. The players who have come through and signed, and all the bigger clubs are now looking at him going, well, he's going to do a job for us.
And they've got some sort of something going on with the owner or something, is it? And some Portuguese agents, so they're getting all these players at knockdown prices. Or I don't know. But, right, the hit parade.
The hit parade.
Now, I was at the height of my taping Top of the Pops on the VHS at this point.
Right.
So these songs are... Billy Joel obviously didn't fly into the Top of the Pops studio. So I can remember the video for this being on Top of the Pops. And that was his missus, wasn't it?
No. Well, yeah. She turned into his missus.
Yeah, eventually.
Little fun fact I read about this was Uptown Girl wasn't about Christy Brinkley. It was about Elle Macpherson, who he was dating at the time.
Ah.
And then she wasn't available for the video, so Christy Brinkley stepped in. And obviously something went on, because 2 years later he married her.
They can't be still married now.
Don't know.
You wouldn't stay married to Billy Joel for that long, because every time he sits down, he must just start playing piano. Must do your fucking head in. So that was 5 weeks at number one.
Yeah.
Nearly the Christmas number one. Now, I'm gutted because, again, this is me at the height of... This is where I can remember, like, Return of the Jedi's out and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
The Christmas number one that year was Only You. Ba-da-da-da. Ch-ch. Ba-da-da-da. Ch-ch. The Flying Pickets. Fucking memories, mate. The next number one was Nina, 99 Red Balloons.
Yeah.
3 weeks at number one.
99 Luft Balloons.
And you could get both versions, couldn't you? The German. Yeah.
Skanky ho, wasn't she?
Oh, she was
on top of the pops with the hairy armpits.
Yeah, gorgeous, mate. I'd lick a big hairy armpit. I got off with a Spanish girl in Valencia. She had big hairy armpits.
That's not nice.
I just remember licking
the biggest misconception about this was everyone thought the woman, the singer, was called Nina. And it was the band that was called Nina. Her name was something fucking strange, like Ingrid.
There you go. Now, I was in the juniors in my last year before going up into the seniors. I can remember this song would have been out and a slow burn to get to the top of the charts. But so it
when
was
it
all
there.
Exactly. You know, it used to take weeks to get to number one, these songs, didn't they? But yeah. In my brother's year, he was 3 years younger than me. So I was 11, he was 8. There was a girl in his year called Nina. And I ended up hanging around with her when we were all older and all her mates.
Memories.
Yeah, she was the only one to get off with. She didn't have hairy armpits, no, she was only 8. She had a head like a robber's dog, though. Weird. But they always used to have weird haircuts in the 80s, didn't they? Now, fast forward, it's actually the next number one,
Boosh,
and another belting. He would never go into the Top of the Pops studio, so we had to endure the most cringeworthy video in history. Lionel, Stevie Wonder, Richie with Hello.
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for?
He played the video, he played like a theatre teacher, didn't he? Like an acting teacher.
Yeah.
And he fell in love with one of the students. Aye, aye. A blind student, in fact.
Oh, no, yeah, he wasn't blind. That's why I've just called him Stevie Wonder.
No, he wasn't blind. He was the teacher.
Oh, the yeah.
And then he realized, he thought it was an unrequited love until he saw her sculpting a bust of him to show her love to him. Which fucking looked nothing like, just looked like a pile of shit on a plane.
It looked like he'd been in a car crash and had his face put back together.
Yeah. Well, the bit I read about this was apparently he turned around and said to the video director, "You know, that's you know, the sculptor looks absolutely nothing like me." And the director responded with, "Lionel, she's fucking blind."
is that why I've got a nose for an ear? And a knob for the nose.
I read that, I was laughing my bollocks off. Oh. Fucking blind.
Yeah, so the three songs.
That song was number one for 6 weeks once. That covered the second leg of the year.
Yeah.
Do the game as well.
Yeah.
6 weeks number one.
So three new songs on the playlist on Spotify and Apple Music.
Oosh. Have you got anything for the telly? Do you have a look at any TV?
No, I didn't. Did you?
I've had a little look.
You always have a little look. You are Radio Times.
Mr. Telly, man. Alvida Saint Pet started in November 1983. It ran till 86 and then had a break and started again in 2002 till 2004.
Which they should never have bothered with.
No. Danger Mouse. Even though it wasn't its first year, it hit viewing figure heights. The most popular animated series at 21.59 million viewers.
Joking?
Yeah, 21.59 million for a cartoon.
That is mental.
David Jason and... God, who did Penfold? Terry Scott. From Terry and June, remember him?
Oh, yeah, I loved him.
Another programme started, and I can't remember. I read what it was about, and I sort of remembered it. So You Want to Be Top?
No.
A kids' quiz show hosted by Gary Wilmot. You must remember Gary Wilmot.
I remember Gary Wilmot, but I've got no memory of that.
Famous impression of Norman Wisdom on it. I think that's all he did. It was a kids' TV show, ran for three series, and the winner was based on the audience doing a clapometer.
Oh, the clapometer's got me jangling.
Mm. So we'll maybe go to YouTube and have a little look, see if there's anything on there.
Did you get a theme tune?
No, I don't delve that deeply. But I've got other things to do. This month, Peter Davison had his last episode as the Fifth Doctor.
The Fifth Doctor. Now they're just thrown around like confetti. What would he be thinking of next? Are we having a female doctor next?
No, don't be silly. So Peter Davison, in the same episode, he obviously regenerated as the Sixth Doctor. Any ideas?
Yeah, it was that little weirdo.
McCoy.
Yeah, Sylvester McCoy, yeah.
No.
Oh.
There's one in between.
Fuck off.
Colin Baker.
Oh, he was shit.
Yeah, I mean, I like Doctor Who now. Well, I never watched the Peter Davison one. I never watched the Colin Baker one.
I watched the Peter Davison one. I remember the Sylvester McCoy one. Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Doctor Who was shit then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Gonna be shit now, like.
Who's the fella who did Broadchurch? The Scottish fella.
I don't rightly know. Was it me, Bill Shankly?
That's when I started watching again, when Bill Shankly did it.
It's more important than that. We've got to go and destroy the Dalek Sun.
What else have I got here? The Price is Right started with Leslie Crowder. Come on down.
Wow.
That was on for 4 years on ITV.
Is that all?
Yeah, 4 years.
This would have been at that time where you're in your nan and granddad's every Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, it says 4 years on ITV. I'm pretty sure it went on to Sky then. It went on to a Sky channel. Run by somebody else.
Ah.
It's also a date that all our Liverpool fans know, 15th of April. Obviously, Hillsborough anniversary. But also, it was the date in 1984 of the death of one of our comedy greats.
The most
traumatic thing you'll ever see on live TV.
I know you're going to say.
Tommy Cooper died on stage live on telly, didn't
he? I remember seeing the news headlines on the papers the next day, and it's only as a grown man about 2 years ago that I went and found that footage on YouTube. Oh,
fucking haunting.
Oh, the poor man.
The woman comes on, doesn't she, and puts a cape on him. And he said, this is my magic cape. And then he just sort of, she walks away and he collapses. Sat upright with his eyes closed and all the audience fucking clapping and cheering, thinking it's part of the act. And he was fucking lying there dead.
What a way to go, though. On stage, getting cheered and clapped.
It was horrible. Because I actually watched it live.
And hell.
Yeah. Because, like, it was a big, what was it called? It wasn't Live at the Palladium, Live at Her Majesty's, or Live from Her Majesty's. And he collapses, and then he's sat upright, and then he finally, you know, he topples backwards then, and he goes halfway through the curtains, so his legs are sticking out. And you can just hear his deep breathing on his mic. And then people are laughing and clapping and all sorts. And then a hand sort of comes out between the curtains, you see that, and that's when you realise, fucking hell, something's not right here. And then it goes to an ad break.
Oh, imagine them poor bastards in the audience laughing their heads off when that hand comes out.
Yeah.
Howling. What's he doing? What's he doing? What? Oh.
Yeah. Oh, it was haunting. But that he was the first, I don't know if you remember this, he was the first of three comedy giants to die within a few months of each other.
Oh, one of them must have been Eric Morgan.
Yeah. He also died of a heart attack.
Oh, let's have a think. So
Tommy Cooper died in April, Eric Morcombe in May, and then Leonard Rossiter in October.
Oh, rising damp.
Yeah.
Another heart attack.
It was heart-related, but it wasn't a heart attack. It was hardening of the heart wall or something like that. It wasn't actually a heart attack. Yeah, so to leave this programme on a bit of a fucking downer, talking about three deaths.
Well,
off for the telly.
Well, yeah. What a fucking downer. But what, three greats. Well, we're going to record next week, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to try to. Yeah.
It's the 84-85 season next.
Yeah.
And we won't. There won't be any football. We might talk about. I don't watch international football. It's shit. It doesn't exist for me. All I pray for is all my Liverpool players. I believe a lot of our players are getting dentist work done, aren't they?
Yeah, they can't play because they've got something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Karrion Knox.
So, whoever fucking thought of international football at this stage of season across the whole of fucking world football, European football, fucking assholes.
It's madness.
It must be it must happen every year, but because we're never in the shelf for winning the league, it passes us by. We must be like, yeah, whatever. But this year of all years, you just get your players back safe and sound.
Yeah. Shall we call down Scylla to do the words?
Oh God, what do you want me to say?
Go on, Scylla, go on.
I can't remember what you have to say. Blow the whistle, Ness.
This podcast is Dark Podcast Network.
Hello, my name is Elder Price. Hello.
Hi. You're right, lad.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello. Hello. I can't hear a thing. What's going on?